The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Ewan Cameron and it is
I'm never getting out of here by 11.
I love those episodes.
That guy's a professional as well. Do you want me to read the intro? And I'll intro you.
Start again. Actually, keep that bit in, but let's start again.
This is a shambles already.
Shut up, you!
Where is Gordon Duncan when you need him?
This is a nightmare. Right, here we go.
You're keeping all this in.
Okay, fine. Here we go.
Go.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Ewan Cameron and it's episode 82. Now, Stephen Mill is off this week, so I'm joined by a Dumbarton and Brechin legend. He is Mr. Dumbarton. He is Mr. Brechin. Dumbarton is nothing without him. And Brechin, we're happy to see the back of him. Please welcome to the podcast the one and only Mark Wilson.
Yeah. Whoa. That was like the fans at Dumbarton. That was that rapturous round of applause I used to get. King of the Rock, they used to call me down there.
Yeah, one fan at Dumbarton. Yeah.
Well, I'm delighted to be back, Ewan. Not been here for a long time, but thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Stephen is away on holiday yet again.
Hint of sarcasm in your voice, possibly?
Guy. Likes his you ever thought of doing a travel kind of show with Stephen?
He's always off, isn't he?
He is. Yeah.
He's in Atlanta.
Gets off to some interesting places. Well, I hope he's enjoying himself.
He was in Oslo to begin with because it was a cheaper flight to go from Scotland to Oslo, Oslo to New York. Then he changed flights at New York to go to Atlanta, but it saved him like a grand or something.
A grand in hotel rooms, because it takes about 6 days to get there. So that's 6 days hotel rooms he saved on.
I remember my wife decided to take the cheap route when we went to Vegas and we ended up in Philadelphia to begin with.
Oh,
and we were there for 8 hours in Philadelphia.
What do you do?
Just sat in the airport.
Aye.
Spent a lot of time in Wagamama. With a few drinks.
That sounds some laugh. That sounds good.
It's good to have Mark Wilson here with us on the podcast. We're going to look back at all the big talking points from the weekend. But first, let's talk about what we did at the weekend. Let me ask you, Mark. I mean, did you have an interesting weekend? Let's take the football out of the equation. What did you do at the weekend?
What did I do at the weekend? On Friday night, I went to see James Blunt. Now, why does James Blunt get that reaction? He was outstanding. Have you read James Blunt's book? I take that as a no. Okay, read James Blunt's book, then go to see him, and he plays all his classics. It was amazing.
All his classics?
He's classic. He plays... Yeah, you're beautiful, and you have a nice wee moment with the other half.
Uh-huh.
Ah, it was magnificent.
What moment did you have with your other half?
Just the old arm round. You know the old yawn technique. You get the arm round, and then you stop.
And was
at
that
the shoulder.
During "You're Beautiful"? And did you sing the lyrics to her?
Of course. Well,
did you turn to her and sing it to her?
Of course. Aye. Why wouldn't you? Aye. Anybody that listened to Super Scoreboard on Saturday would have heard the croakiness in my voice from the singing the night before.
And that's because of James Blunt.
That's because of James Blunt. Magnificent. So that was me Saturday in here for the football.
Yeah.
And reacted to that. Early night on Saturday night, Ewan.
Why was that?
Well, it was a big one on Sunday.
What was the big one on Sunday, Mark?
Well, Rangers v Celtic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we have to be tucked up in bed early because we are 11:45 a.m. start, which means we need to be in here for 11.
And what time did you finish last night?
4 o'clock we were off there.
That's
then
not
straight
bad.
To the gym.
Straight
after
to the
that,
gym?
What a great weekend. And then straight to McDonald's after the gym. So
balanced itself out.
So started with James Bond, ended with McDonald's, football in between.
Okay. Do you want to hear about my weekend?
Go for it.
I learned at the weekend. Now, I'm going to get the absolute piss ripped out of me here because I once admitted on this podcast that I struggle to cook rice and that I can't cook rice. It doesn't matter how many times I try, I cannot cook rice.
Right.
So when...
Wait, are we talking about actually cooking it on the hob or the microwave?
No, in the microwave, two minutes, easy. You just throw it in, you just cut a wee slit at the top of the bag and you throw it in the microwave, that's fine. But I can't cook rice in a pot. I just can't seem to... It comes out like pudding rice, it's sticky.
Yeah.
It's anyway. So I made the error of admitting to that once in the podcast, and everybody keeps reminding me of it and sends me pictures of rice cookers and
you get a rice cooker, can you?
You can buy a rice cooker. Apparently they're amazing. Did you not know that?
No, I heard of him. Right, okay. I've got a rice cooker Leanne cooks. Don't need to buy that.
But yeah. I mean, she's good at it then.
She is good. Right.
My wife's brilliant at making rice, but I can't do it. So I'm going to admit to something else that I didn't know and I learned at the weekend the hard way. So I was off last week for Easter holidays. So last week we decided to do some painting and decorating in the house, and I came up with this amazing idea that I'm going to be painting the staircase and the banisters. You know the banisters?
On, yeah.
You know, you walk and the spindles that are, those little sticky things.
Aye. I know what a banister and spindles are, but thanks for describing that just in case I just landed on planet Earth.
There are people out there who might not know what a spindle is.
Well, okay, right, people that live in bungalows don't really know what banisters are. But I don't live in a bungalow, so right, I know right. where you're going with
so,
this.
So the banister on the staircase was gloss white.
Yeah.
Right. So I wanted to change that to gloss black, which is nice. It's nice. Yeah. But what I didn't know at the time is that you can't paint over gloss with gloss.
I didn't know that either. Okay. So what did it come up like?
Right. Oh, it's a disaster. Anyone out there who's listening to this, I think the vast majority of people will know that you cannot paint gloss over gloss. It just doesn't work. And what you have to do is that you have to sand the banisters down and the spindles so that you can get to the wood so that the paint can then stick to the wood. Because gloss is shiny. It's a bit like this top.
Yeah.
So you can't paint over that. Think about it.
Aye. But you've just took the shortcut.
I tried to take the shortcut. Nightmare. Nightmare, mate.
So what stage are you at now? You haven't you?
So I got the mother-in-law up.
We are sander. Bring the sander with you as well.
And, so the mother-in-law came up and I bought loads of sandpaper from Tesco. And me, the wife and the mother-in-law were sanding all weekend.
You were going to say me and the wife went out and left her to do the sanding.
Feel that.
I see. Well, I hope that's for sanding.
That's from doing that.
I bet it is.
Just doing that.
What a weekend.
On the spindles, I was doing that all weekend.
That's like your usual days.
I was doing that up and doing the banister. And yeah, so that's what I did at the weekend.
Four arms like a wrestler.
Right, we'll get to the football in just a second. But first, your reactions to last week's show from Alan. Ewan's story about his weekends are like a toddler telling you about their day at nursery. From Pablo. Ewan is like the work colleague who puts his head over your cubicle on Monday and your heart sinks as you're going to hear all about his weekend.
It's good to know that the public
are enjoying like our stories of the weekend. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wait until they get into you about your James Blunt weekend.
Yeah.
On the quiz, Chris says, you've been stitched up, Ewan. Those movie questions were ridiculous last week, whilst the cheat got pish easy questions and only got two right. So
it's a cheat, Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen says, Ewan screwed on the quiz again. He'd be as well going back to the football questions. After all, Stephen seems to be getting offered 50-50 questions and Ewan doesn't. His questions are far harder. You see, there's a lot of support there for me.
Yeah.
Because
love you.
They do love me and they do feel as though I'm getting screwed over week after week. We are doing a quiz today, aren't we, Producer Michael? Producer Michael, are you there?
Yes, we are indeed.
We're doing a quiz and I did suggest that we just do one quiz between us and it's about the Old Firm. Is that what's happening?
That is correct.
Oh, so it's five questions on the Old Firm and we're both getting the same questions, Mark.
All right, okay.
And we just have to write down our answers.
What was it last week? A movie question? Quiz?
I get movie questions and Stephen gets football questions because I'm an expert on movies.
I think I'd give you a good run for your money in movies, but we'll do that another time.
I will do that another time. Here we go. More reaction. On his cooking, i.e. my cooking, Toronto Jer says, Ewan can make gravy with onions and pepper, but he can't boil rice.
Listen, I'm going back you up, see what the rice thing.
Aye.
It is difficult.
You can't get it right.
But someone told me that boil it for 7 minutes, right?
No, you
then,
don't.
Then drain it, put tin foil and a knob of butter and tin foil.
What?
And leave it to steam in there.
Right,
try that.
Whoa. So you're suggesting that you boil rice for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You drain the rice.
Leave a bit of water, a tiny bit of water in it.
In the bottom of it?
Yeah, in the bottom.
And then you add a knob of butter in the middle of the rice.
Yep.
You put tinfoil over the top of the rice.
Blast it on full heat for 30 seconds so the heat's in it.
With
turn
the butter,
it off. Yep, turn it off and let it steam for another 10 minutes. Try that, right? And get back to me.
Right.
You okay. Impressed with that?
No. Jer's True Blue says this. If Christian Titz is appointed as Aberdeen manager, he should get his hands on that areola. He's a good keeper and a perky personality to have around. Would give the team a lift. He would keep abreast of his availability at least. Come on, Tits, finish the job.
Very clever.
Remember, you can leave a comment anytime on Twitter. That's at Big Football Scott, or you can leave a comment on the YouTube video. Yes, we've got a YouTube channel. Go watch the video there and leave your comment. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast or head to the Super Scoreboard channel. Now, let's get a look at the weekend's football. And there's a lot to get through. So what we're going to do here, Mark, is that we are going to leave Rangers versus Celtic till last.
Okay.
And we'll talk about the game generally, and then we'll get to the VAR stuff and VARWTF. Understood?
Yes.
Clear?
Yep.
Let's do this. Let's first of all talk about Hearts versus St Mirren. And Hearts beat St Mirren in Paisley by 2-1. And because Hearts have won, I now have to do a wee happy dance. Is that okay?
All right, okay, go for it.
So can we go to a wide shot, please, producer Michael, because I don't want people to see me dancing with my crotch in front of the microphone. There you go. And can you get my wee bit of Hearts music, please?
Oh,
that's not the Hearts song.
Oh, hold on a minute. We are. Heard enough of that yesterday.
Hey, get the Hearts song on.
That's your favourite, though.
Get shut up. That's,
yeah, you're right, Michael.
I'm getting it from both sides now. Producer Michael, he's a Celtic fan producing the show, and you're a Celtic fan as well. Right, get my proper bit of music on for my happy dance.
Fine.
Stephen Naismith, next Liverpool manager, is that good? H-E-A-R-T-S. If you can't spell it, then here's what it says. Thank you, my friend.
That was disturbing.
That was a great...
I've never seen that. You know, I didn't know the words to that song. That's the first time I've heard that.
Shut up,
I know. I only ever hear the chorus. You only sing it for a brief moment, don't you? Because it's short-lived.
So
joy.
I would like now for Mark to do a wee happy dance for us. Mark, go and stand up.
What you got for me? What song?
Go and do Mental as Anything and live it up.
Right, okay.
What's Mental as Anything?
Oh, you'll hear it in a minute. It's a great song. You'll have heard it quite a few times over the years.
Which team is it attributed to, though? Just in case this is a...
No, it's
not. Celtic. Don't worry.
It's not, it's attributed to Rangers, is it not?
I don't know, both.
Or both maybe play it.
I don't know what's worse, me just standing here or the anticipation for the dance. I'm not sure. Any chance in hurrying up, Michael?
Oh, there you go, here we go. We happy dance. How can you see looking through those tears? Oh, that's good. Was that you and James Bond the other night? The door. That's good, Mark. We're a good wee mover.
The last time you seen that, we were at Matt Goss moving on together.
Aye, we were at Matt Goss together.
Yeah, that's not bad there. I can see myself getting a spin-off show.
Get that clipped up on the Super Scoreboard Twitter page. Right, let's talk football. Hearts beating St Mirren by 2-1. Hearts have been easily the best of the rest.
Ah, they have been. I don't think you can doubt that. That was the sort of, would you agree, the meaningless game of the weekend? You know what I mean? Hearts have got third place tied up, haven't they?
St Mirren are chasing fourth.
Are they really?
Do you think Kilmarnock are too good?
Aye. I mean, Stephen Robinson will say that. You know, we're chasing fourth and we really want Europe. Of course they do, but you cannot tell me that he's not happy after that game. Top six secured for the second season. So it was a wee bit of a meaningless game. But for Hearts, Stephen Naismith, look, got to give him credit. Remember, you would have been one of them.
I was.
I knew it. Who gave him stick, wanted him out, and all of a sudden he started piecing results together week by week and look where he's on now.
And I think we've made some decent signings for next season. We've got Dander from Ross County,
yeah.
Blair Spittle from Motherwell, James Penrice from Livingston. So we've already added quality to what is already a very good squad.
I'm a Dander fan. Oh, you guys will tell you on the show. I'm always saying, anytime Ross County play, Dander's your man. Just set pieces.
Aye.
You know, just the way he's nice got a trick. Touches, he's got a trick as well. So he'll fit in well. But Spittle's a good one, eh?
I didn't see that coming. I've been raving about the boy all season. Yeah. I've been really impressed by him. But I've been impressed by Motherwell. I just think they've been a wee bit unlucky in some of the games that they've played. But a great win for Hearts, because that's normally a tough place
but
to go.
But see on that, St Mirren.
Wait. Don't.
Okay.
We'll get to that VAR
right.
WTF.
Oh, right, okay. We'll get to that in just
a wee second. But a big win for Hearts. They've got third secured, but that we kind of knew that a few weeks ago. St Mirren, congratulations to them. Top six secured. Yeah. Brilliant season for them. And that would have been their goal at the start.
Well, it would have been. I think all these teams, St Mirren, you look all the way down the league. You take Hibs and Aberdeen out of this, but survival, first and foremost, that's the way it's got to be.
Aye.
So when you get survival, then you think, can I break into top six? So to do it with six games left, it's a brilliant achievement, especially with all the budget restrictions that Stephen Robinson's got. He's a top manager, and I'm surprised that he has been linked with Aberdeen, but Aberdeen's a big club. It's a step up for St Mirren. I think they could do worse than get Stephen Robinson.
Talking of Aberdeen, they drew 0-0 with Livingston, and that 0-0 draw has cost them the chance to go into the final game before the split to get into the top six. So they are now officially a bottom six club, which is just scandalous for a club like Aberdeen.
Well, you know what, Ewan? They deserve it. They deserve to be in the bottom six. It would have been an outrage if they had managed to piece together some late run.
But the money that they spent.
Well, it's mismanagement from the top. You've got to look at the top and Dave Cormack and how he's... He's, you know, just managed his way throughout that club. You think of the managers and Stephen Glass and the way he dealt with Jim Goodwin and that whole
Barry Robson
charade after the Hibs game. Remember him? Aye. Tears. Then Barry Robson.
And then Warnock.
Warnock was icing on the cake. That was the craziest one ever. And then you've got Alan Burrows, who seems to be a sensible head, who's done a good job at Motherwell, who was headhunted to go to Aberdeen. And you think he's a guy that should have probably more saying things. I've just got this feeling that Dave Cormack wants his cake and eating it. He wants to make every decision, even though he's got.
I think that both Burrows and Cormack are culpable. I think the club's in an absolute mess.
Yeah.
Yes, Cormack carries the can because he's the main man and he's got the money. But I'm going to say something to you that you may not have heard.
Mm-hmm.
But I know who they want.
Okay.
As their new manager.
Right.
And we've just mentioned the club.
St Mirren?
Nah.
Naismith?
Nah. Who else did we mention?
Derek McInnes?
Uh-huh.
Shut up!
Right.
Right, listen, I
maybe shouldn't have said that.
Right.
And I may...
We'll keep it in for the sake of you.
I heard...
Right, you want Derek back.
What's the source?
Well...
No, I'm not going to reveal sources.
Michael.
Can't do that kind of thing. Aberdeen. Aberdeen want McInnes.
But Derek would never go back, surely. After the way he was treated. All the way there, you've got that glint in your eye.
What?
Do you know Dale? Do you?
No,
do you
I don't.
You've got a glint in your eye to say that Derek would go back.
I just know that Aberdeen would entertain Derek McInnes. That's what I will tell you.
Well, they made a huge mistake, I thought they just thought it was time for change and getting rid of him.
Let me just put this to you. So Aberdeen would love to bring Derek McInnes back to the club. Derek McInnes has taken Kilmarnock as far as they can go. Would you agree? Fourth is it for them. He's been to England, he had his fingers burned. He ain't going back to England, and the likelihood that somebody from England's going to offer him a job are probably slim to none, because it was a disaster for him. So where's next for him? The Hearts job, I would have loved to have got the Hearts job when Naismith was going through his patchy period. Yeah. But Naismith has turned it around and proved a lot of people wrong. So the Hearts job's not available.
Yep.
He's never going to get the Celtic or the Rangers job. He burnt that bridge with Rangers after, who was it again? When he was offered the job and he didn't take it. Can't remember.
Yeah.
Kishinya?
Was it Kishinya?
It might have been Kishinya.
Thanks for that, Michael. So where else is there?
Scotland job.
That might come down the road.
Take Kilmarnock.
That might come.
As a regular top six finishing team.
Right, that's a good shout.
In a cup final.
I like
that. Like he did with Aberdeen and then the Scotland job.
I like that.
I think the type of guy Dale is, he's got morals and he wouldn't go back to Aberdeen after the way he was treated.
It's a different regime in a ring, isn't it?
With Burrows there?
Yeah.
Perhaps, but Cormack's still top of the tree.
Yeah.
Who let him go?
Okay, so sticking to Aberdeen just now. McInnes for Scotland is a great shout. And the only way that job comes up is if Steve Clark, who's on a really bad losing run, we have a disastrous Euros, then there might be questions asked of Clark. But I think he's got enough credit in the bank where he will not be moved from that position, even if we have a disaster at the Euros. So that job might not come around for another year or 18 months. Who knows? Might never come around.
But I think that suits Dale.
But I think his stock is high right now, and the only club that can take him to the next level is Aberdeen.
Aberdeen. I would just be surprised.
But you don't think he'd take it?
I don't think he would take it. I can understand what you're saying, that Burrows and Cormack would want him back just because they've went through this whole process of all these different managers. They've had the young up and coming, they've had the interim,
That's why they're going with McInnes. So all I'm going to say to you at 10:28 on Monday the 8th of April as we record this show, watch this space, Derek McInnes, Aberdeen. Back up the road.
When for the next manager are you talking about? This next appointment?
Yeah.
Okay. So remember that time and date when Aberdeen appoint their manager.
Uh-huh. Remember what you heard it first.
It's not Derek.
There's a good chance it will be.
Okay. Okay.
And I may get myself into a wee bit of bother by revealing that in the podcast. Anyway, who cares? Kilmarnock 1, Ross County 0. Talking of the former Aberdeen manager and likely to be former Kilmarnock manager.
That's quite a leap.
Kilmarnock have been outstanding.
Brilliant.
And Marley Watkins, I rave about him every week.
Aye, I like Watkins as well.
So do I. I love Watkins. And Vassell, really good two up top. Yep. You've got Armstrong on one side and I can't remember.
Kennedy on the other.
They're a really good, strong outfit.
But do you not think, right, speaking about Aberdeen again, Derek McInnes has this knack of shaping these teams like that. So see, when you think back to the successful Aberdeen teams, it was much like the Kilmarnock team he's got now.
Aye.
He had pace and trickery on each wing.
Yes.
And he had two powerful guys up front who would cause any back four problems. And then he had a solid foundation at the back. In the middle of the pitch, chopped and changed. And that's the same with Kilmarnock. He's got creativity on the wings. He's got guys up front who've got a bit of strength, a bit of experience and know how to score, yet he's got a back four that are pretty solid as well. So he's built that team. That's why I'd be surprised if he ripped it up and went. But they deserve everything they get.
He's going to take Armstrong with him.
He's a good player, Armstrong, yeah. He's a good player. Daz, he's going to take him well. Daz on the show doesn't like him. He calls him One Ball Armstrong because he thinks he just plays by himself.
He's got loads. Hearts were linked with Armstrong, and I was hoping that we might get him for the right because we've got Danda down the left. But they can interchange the winners, Danda and Armstrong. I just thought that'd be a great signing for Hearts. But I think he'll end up at Aberdeen with Derek McInnes.
You're going all in this, aren't you?
What about Ross County? Another defeat for them. Don Cowie.
You know what, seen Saturday? Manager. This is how tight football is. At a stage on Saturday, we were asked, right, who we thought would escape 11th position.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, it was still a draw at Easter Road.
Yes.
And it was still a draw at Rugby Park. And I said Ross County. I thought Ross County have got enough at the top end of the pitch to score them enough goals in the remaining five games to get out of it. However, St Johnstone then go and get that win. I still think Ross County might just have enough.
Who are they dragging in? St Johnstone?
St Johnstone.
Do you think that? I thought that win at the weekend there
was enough.
And we'll get to that now. St Johnstone 2, Hibs 1 at Easter Road. I thought Hibs were the banker of the day. I genuinely thought the Hibs, because of their firepower, I think they're very good up top. They're threatening. Malouda, I talk about him a lot. I think he's a great player. They've got him on loan from Hertha Berlin. But St Johnstone, I can't believe they won that game at Easter Road.
Good goal by Sidibe, though.
Brilliant goal.
But the thing is with Hibs, I say the same as you every week. I think Hibs, top end of the pitch, got pace, got creativity, they'll create loads of chances. The problem is, and I hate saying this because when you play the game, you hate to criticise. They've got defenders that can't defend.
Yeah.
Pure and simple, and you don't stand a chance, particularly when you play so open and you've got so many other creative players on the pitch. You then need to have what Derek McInnes has got.
Aye.
You need to have a back four that's reliable, dependable, can put their bodies on the line. And Hibs are just calamitous at the back. Every week, see the goals they concede, you'll at least pick either Bashiri or you'll pick Fish and you'll go, what were they thinking there?
Aye.
And that's Nick Montgomery's problem. Now, the problem is,
does he keep
running
his job?
Out of time.
Does he keep his job? Because I think he's got it right at the top end. Did they give him the summer to fix what's wrong at the back?
I would. I certainly would. I think he gets a lot of good things right. Mm. And I like the way he plays. But how can you legislate for individual mistakes with a group of players that you've got unless you get the chance to change? Now, he had the January window. He can't do much in the January window, though. So the summer window is going to be huge for him. But I spoke to some of the players and they really like him. They really like him. They like his training.
Who did you speak to?
I'm not telling you. I can't reveal my sources. So they really like him.
Who doesn't like him?
All the guys that are left out in the stand. Remember that when you were left in the stand?
But the general feeling is...
They like him.
They like him.
Aye, they like him. Aye. And they like what he brings.
Well, that'll go a long way to him possibly keeping the job, because you'll think the people at the top would be going and asking the players, how are things going, how's the manager?
How many times training? We hear managers getting the bullet? Aye. Because...
There was a story that went round, and I don't know if this is true or not, when I was working on the Real Radio Football phone and back in the noughties, don't you dare press that button. Telling you that right now, Michael. So when I was working on Real
Football... This is the Real Football Phone-In with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2 101.
All the Celtic boys just listen to it. Jackie McNamara fucking hates me.
No, didn't they like you? Gordon,
me.
Gordon didn't they like you at that time?
Gordon
I remember, right? I remember.
Gordon Strachan despised me.
See, the day I signed for Celtic, so my dad was there. Uh-huh. And he took my dad into the office while I was away. Getting photographs taken, and Gordon mentioned you. And that meeting with my dad said when he came out, he says he doesn't like that football phone in with you and Cameron.
No,
I said, who does?
Well, you do because you were listening. But Jackie McNamara hated me.
No, I think he hated
me. What was
me
I going to say again? Oh yeah, so when I was working on the football phone in, now the show was huge, so you would hear a lot of stories, and we were quite pal away a lot of the players, whether it be Celtic, Rangers, or who was in the Scotland squad, Hearts and Hibs, and a lot of the football agents as well would tip us off. I mean, you get the odd phone call or you get a text message because they wanted that story to be out in the public domain for whatever reason, etc.
Like your Aberdeen story, Derek McInnes.
But anyway, so we used to get all these stories coming in, and I used to have a great relationship with Peter Lawwell at that time when he was first in charge there, with David Murray, and they would text you during the show. I mean, I'd have the phone, there's my phone, and I'd have it there, sat there on the desk, and the text would come through, David Murray, Peter Lawwell. There was also the Romanov regime at the time as well. You get messages from them, and
can you play on Saturday for us, Romanov?
So there was a story going round, and I talked about it on the football phone at the time when John Collins was in charge at Hibs.
Mm.
That apparently the Hibs players knocked on the door of the then chairman and chief executive Ron Petrie to say that they weren't having John Collins.
Yeah.
Did you hear that story?
I heard similar stories.
Similar stories,
within the dressing rooms,
yeah. But, so just picking up on the point that you're saying is that that if it's not working, the players will speak out and will speak to chief executives or to the guy that might own the club. That does happen.
I think it does. I think when it's particularly bad on the pitch and owners or chief exec want to get a feel for...
They'll call a meeting with players.
They'll do it maybe individually, some of the most influential ones. Teams nowadays have these leadership groups that you'll hear about all the time, where it's probably four of your most experienced players deal with bonuses and things like that. But they may just lean on them. What's the general consensus in the dressing room? And I've heard stories about it before.
That you were a player, was there ever a time where you and or senior players within the squad... They were asked to voice their opinion about a manager to the chief exec.
No, I was never part of that. Coming through at Dundee United, where we were going through managers like nobody's business. Yeah. I was a young player. So I don't know if the older ones, Derek McInnes and Jim McIntyre and all them are managers now, Alan Archibald. They were the older group, so I don't know if they were asked.
They would break away and speak to the chief exec, etc.
I'm not sure if they did or not. At Celtic, again, I was that kind of middle ground that wasn't quite senior enough.
Yeah.
And the only manager that we had an issue with, or there was an issue, was Tony Mowbray in my time.
At Celtic.
At Celtic.
And I liked him. I had a really good relationship with him.
Tony was...
He did a great job at Hibs. But did you personally not get on with him?
No. Sitting here, talking across the table, he was a lovely guy.
Training ground,
he was fine. I felt there was a lot of mixed messages, and I think the players thought that on the training ground. It seemed like it was a lot more complicated than it should have been.
So it was confusing.
Confusing. So right. We went through Gordon Strachan, remember. Everything was...
meticulous.
Clear as day. Yeah. And, you know, everybody enjoyed training. Fitness levels were sky high. Then we went into a regime where really stop start, really had to explain each drills. And I think there was that confusion mixed with players coming in that he'd signed that maybe just didn't get the club and what it was to play there. And he maybe underestimated how tough a job it was being Celtic manager.
Yes.
He knew what it was to be Hibs manager and play attractive football. But I felt sometimes he thought it was just going to be easy.
Did you know that from the get-go when you first met him and you took a training session with him? Did you have a feeling this was something not right?
You know what? First impression at Tony, again, he was a lovely guy, but when he had his meeting right at the beginning with a group of players, he introduced a sports scientist at the time. That was his role, sports scientist.
Yeah.
And Dan Harris, he's went on to get his UEFA Pro licence, and he's a lovely guy. And he leaned a lot on him.
Right.
And he did a lot of the talking.
Okay.
And I think we were all a bit surprised that we went through Gordon.
Aye.
He was man. He had no question who was in charge.
Proper man manager.
To Tony. But then the sports scientist was much taking charge of a lot of stuff. And then the load, pulling players out. You're doing too much. You can't do this. Whether you just have to do a lot more. And we were going, I'm not getting the balance of this. But again, there was just certain occasions that I thought he just thought we'd turn up every week and win. And you know as well as I do. That's one of the toughest jobs in football.
Yeah.
So
I was around at that time. So I was interviewing the likes of Strachan and Mowbray and McLeish and Walter Smith when he went back for the second time to Rangers after leaving Scotland and everything. It was such a great time to be involved in football. Yeah. Martin O'Neill was around at the time as well. And it was a successful time as well because both Celtic and Rangers were doing great in Europe. They were in the Champions League, getting results in the Champions League. It was a brilliant decade to work in football.
I was mad that. See, at that time, so I won, I think, 4 titles at Celtic, but lost 3. I think 2 of them on the last day as well to Rangers, as well as we qualified for the last 16 twice. I'm sure Rangers qualified for the last 16.
Under McLeish.
They went to a European final. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was...
And you went to a European final. Seville.
Not you personally.
I wasn't
there.
In that decade.
So, I mean, that's your peak of where the two of them were. Take away 67 and all that. But that's, in recent history, the peak.
And we had a wee taste of that yesterday, and we'll get to that in just a second. But first, Motherwell 3, Dundee 2. I mean, at the start of the day, nobody thought that game was going to be on, because the pitch is an absolute disgrace and an embarrassment to the top flight of Scottish football now. I bang on about the plastic pitches, which I hate and I despise, and thankfully Livingston will be relegated, so we'll lose one of those plastic pitches, and Kilmarnock have already decided that they're going to rip that up and they're going to put in a grass pitch. I think it's not for this season, but for the season after. So great news all around, but that Dundee pitch has been a disaster all season. It's something to do with the draining. I think the drain is like from the 18th century and they haven't updated it or upgraded it. But something needs to be done about that pitch. But anyway, the game went ahead and they go 2-0 up. And if they win the game, they're guaranteed top 6. It doesn't go down to the final day before the split. And then Motherwell, all credit to them. What a comeback. And they win it 3-2.
What a game of football.
Oh,
it was, by the way. I mean, mad how it all went. The story before it. I'm watching the pitch inspection before it. And the footage it was coming through. And I'm going, I'm going, there's no way that can be played. And I'm convinced that if it wasn't so close to the top 6, that wouldn't have been played anyway. And you know what? Fair play to Stuart Kettlewell, because he had his comments before the game on the pitch and what he thought was unfair. Dundee taking the money and putting it into their playing squad, whether Motherwell had to pay £1 million.
Sort the pitch and ring it.
And put less investment into their squad. And then it's always nicer when you back it up after the game, after you've won, so it doesn't sound like sour grapes. But by the way, Dundee, I've got to give credit to Tony Dock, right? Because it's not Tony Dock's problem, the pitch.
No.
It's got nothing to do with him. And what he's been given to spend, that's not up to him, it's up to the owners. And the players, they've done very well this season. But for Motherwell to turn that round, big boy Theo Barrett, front. What a signing he's been.
St Johnson let him go.
I know. Well, he couldn't have scored, could he?
Yeah, no, but he's but he's gone from that last season with St Johnson to being an absolute beast this season, to the point where I was saying just a couple of weeks ago, if Shanklin goes, I would look at him.
By the way, he's physical. He's got a bit about him on the ground, though, as well.
You see, goal he scored. He brushed aside the centre half. His pace, his power. Brilliant goal.
But a couple of the goals he scored this season where he's went through and we dink over the goalkeeper. Aye. So he's got that finesse.
And he's
but
young.
You think he had to replace Van Veen, who Motherwell were trying to sign back, remember?
I know.
And look at Van Veen now. He can't get a look in.
Nah.
And so that just shows you how things work out. It's quite strange. But well done, Motherwell. What a result.
So Motherwell, Dundee and Hibs are playing at the weekend and one of them will be in the top six. Motherwell are at home to Hibs. Dundee are away to Aberdeen. If Dundee draw and Hibs draw, Dundee stay in the top six. If Dundee draw and Hibs win, Hibs go into the top six. If Dundee win, it's done. They'll be top six anyway. Motherwell can only get in the top six if they beat Hibs and Dundee get beat.
Oh, that's quite hot info there.
But the thing is, though, there's so many different permutations.
Aye. So right. Are you going to ask me who I'm going for?
Right, so Motherwell, for them to get in the top six, they have to beat Hibs at Fir Park and hope that Aberdeen beat Dundee at Pittodrie.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that can happen?
I think that's a realistic chance of happening.
You think that they'll beat Hibs and that Aberdeen could beat Dundee at Pittodrie?
Yeah.
Right, so then Motherwell could go up.
Motherwell, up top
to
six.
Top six. So you going with that?
I'm going with Motherwell.
Because Hibs... Oh, well, that's it. That's straightforward.
Aye, because Hibs are weak at the back. Motherwell with Bayer up front.
Yeah.
They'll win that
home.
Game.
They're at home.
If the game was at Dens Park, I would maybe say Dundee. But Dundee have to negotiate the game against Rangers as well midweek.
Do you want a conspiracy?
Aye, go for it. I love a good conspiracy.
We'll play the kids on Wednesday against Rangers because the game against Aberdeen.
Are they better, though? No? Whoa.
Like, but Tony Dock doesn't give a shit about the title race. He's got to do what's
best. Oh,
hold
on a minute. We're there. So we are just discounting that game against Rangers. What if Dundee win that game against Rangers?
Well, they're in the top six.
Well, then, that changes everything.
Right, are Dundee going to beat Rangers?
No, they won't. I'll go for Motherwell.
So, but if I'm Tony Dock, I'm doing what's best for my team. Do not be surprised on Wednesday night if he plays some of the players that have been on the fringes.
Who does Tony Dock support? Anybody know that?
But he's got to do what's right for his team.
I know. He'll know play the kids.
See the difference between top six and bottom six. See the money.
Oh,
it's huge.
By the way, see when it's Dundee massive. United, we got in it our first year. It was massive. And then the bonus that the players got as well.
Exactly.
Brilliant. I mean, the world is.
So again, just like with the Derek McInnes thing, you heard it here first. Team news, Wednesday night, Dens Park. Expect Dundee to make loads of changes because they've got the game on against Aberdeen, which is a more realistic chance for them to get a result, to get them in the top six than it is against Rangers. So they don't want to risk their best players against Rangers, who are going to be red-hot favourites to win that game to go top of the league.
No.
If you're Tony Dock, are you making those changes again on Wednesday?
No, I'm putting all my eggs in the home.
Because you're a Celtic fan.
You better have everybody.
Fan.
Can you sign other players as well before Wednesday? And Celtic won them a few.
Right, let's talk about the big one at the weekend. The Old Firm, Ibrox, Rangers 3, Celtic 3. We're going to get to the VAR stuff in just a second. But the game overall, I'm a neutral watching it. I was sat on the edge of my seat. I thought it was a brilliant game. It was back to what we've just been talking about.
Yeah.
Back in the day with Martin O'Neill, Walter Smith, Alex McLeish, Gordon Strachan. It was back to those days. The only thing missing from it were the Celtic fans in the stadium. But the game itself had everything.
Yeah.
I mean, everything you'd want from an Old Firm game happened yesterday. I thought it was epic. I thought it was a great advert for Scottish football. What did you think of it? As a general sense, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty during VAR WTA.
It's amazing. It was an amazing spectacle. I think even the build-up helped that as well. See, because the story, the way Rangers are going under Clement, and they're 100% in a better place, and he's got them playing some good football. And Celtic have been patchy, but they've still got Brendan Rodgers in the dugout. So that whole story as well, it just built it up to be a great spectacle. Now, how many times have we done that before, though? And it just, the game falls flat. And I've played in many that just fell flat as well, for whatever reason. But that certainly didn't. And the goal in the first 20 seconds maybe then helps that along, because...
Helps Celtic,
because, well, God, if I was in a team there that went and scored in 20 seconds, it would just automatically relax you.
Aye.
You know, because the pressure, of course, is on Celtic to go there with 50,000 fans going against them and try and stem the tide with Rangers. They didn't have to, because 20 seconds in, Maeda does that, or Tavernier does that for them. You know what I mean? So you could see the pressure come off the players' shoulders, but equally, you could see the pressure weighing heavy on the Rangers players' shoulder. They could not complete a 5-yard pass. It looked the hardest thing in the world to them. And they kept going long, and the conditions played a part. But some of the football in the first 45 minutes for Celtic was great. But even then, that changed in the second 45 minutes. So we had everything.
Stick to that first 45. It should have been 3-4-0.
Yeah.
Jack Butland's made a couple of decent saves. Maeda's got to do better with his right foot shot, which kind of more or less is at Butland. The header from O'Reilly, there's not much more that O'Reilly can do. I mean, it's a great header. There's power in it. He's put it in the corner, and Butland makes a world-class save. Celtic had all the chances. They thoroughly deserved their lead. They should have been more in front in that first half. And I think you're right. Rangers were just absolutely shell-shocked, and the pressure just mounted, and they couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
They just couldn't handle it, and Celtic took advantage of that, and they were easily the best team. They were outstanding. They looked like champions, and they looked like they were going to go in and win that game. And if they won that, then for me, they were 100% going to go and win that league. So I don't know what Clement says at half-time, because he gets a reaction.
Well, he does. It would be interesting, wouldn't it, to be
It looked like to me, you can tell me if I'm wrong here as a professional player when you watched it. It looked like they'd stepped up 10 yards.
They did. 100% agree with you. I thought when Celtic scored their goal, the first goal, I thought Rangers, were shell-shocked. But they allowed Celtic to play it through the back. They allowed those little passages of play through their midfield. And it's incredibly difficult to stop. See, when you put Hatate in there with O'Reilly, he obviously adds to that composure. But Rangers seem to be 5 yards off them. And in the second period, you watch Joe Hart when he gets the first goal kick, and I get the wind's in his face. But Rangers players, Dessers, Lawrence, are right up in 18-yard box saying, you've got to kick this.
Did they go man for man, Rangers? I think they might have done.
In the second half, in the second period.
Aye.
But that's got to have came through the manager saying, you need to get 10 yards further up the pitch. They were just allowing Celtic to play out. And, you know, that changed. As soon as Celtic couldn't play out, they tried to go direct. Of course, they had Kyogo up then, and it was coming back and top of them. That's why Brendan Rodgers makes a change. He brings on Ida. And people are saying, oh, well, it's only 65 minutes or whatever. Maybe Kyogo's got a lot left in it, but it doesn't matter. They could not get out at all. And that's due to Rangers. Plus, they brought Simon. Scott Wright didn't do much, did he? He didn't do much wrong. He didn't do anything. They couldn't get the ball to him.
He was a ghost. He was invisible.
But so were every one of those Rangers players. So he could have took anybody off. Simon.
I actually thought that the call to play Lawrence over Cantwell was the right call, but Tom Lawrence was awful.
He was way off it.
Way off
and
it.
Again,
and I'm surprised it took so long to make the change, because, again, he just didn't influence that game in any way.
But I thought you get more dig with Lawrence in there than you do
more
Cantwell.
More
defensive work, and he's creative.
Didn't work.
So
Sima changed it for them.
By the way,
he came on the right.
So, again, I look at a fullback's perspective, because I've played left-back there at Ibrox, I've played right-back at Ibrox. But I see Greg Taylor's game changing right away. As soon as Sima comes on, he knows the threat in behind is there with Sima's pace.
He wasn't getting forward as much.
Wasn't he getting on the ball? He was more protective of the space in behind, and Sima getting a few times. And you've seen it when Sima got the ball at his feet.
Aye.
He was a bit tentative to go out to him. So that changed. So big call for come on. And, the way the game went.
We'll get to the penalty during VAR WTF. Was a 3-3 draw a fair result?
You know what? When you look at the balance of the game, right, there's no doubt Celtic had the better of the first half, and they should have scored more in the first half. But by the way, you remember, Goulson's chance, the one he shoulders over, Silva's chance just at the end of the first half as well.
Joe Hart as well.
So Rangers had a couple of opportunities there as well.
Two big chances.
And then you see the second half, how that played out with both teams going for it. So I think, in fairness, when you analyse the chances and the opportunities that the teams created, probably.
Both clubs, players and management, are claiming some sort of moral victory, that they're in the best position now going for the league title. Who, in your opinion, as it stands right now,
and let's assume that Rangers beat Dundee on Wednesday and they go 2 points clear at the top of the table, who are the favourites to win the league?
I would rather be in Celtic's position.
I agree
at
with
the
you.
Minute. I would be. Now, Dundee game will be hard after what they've just went through there, because that, by the way, that was another thing. It looked an exhausting game to play.
Yes.
Sometimes you see these games and you think, oh, it looked all right. You know, the both teams had their possession and it was fine, but that looked exhausting for both sets of players. So that'll take a lot out of Rangers. I do still think they'll get a result, but coming to Celtic Park with that one game left, I think that's a crucial one.
Do you see Rangers or Celtic dropping points against any of the other teams in the top six when the split comes?
Yes.
Do you think there's more drop points to come from
yes.
both clubs? From both?
But I think
who's more likely to drop points?
Well, that's a tough one to call. Who's more likely? Because when you
but you think they're both likely to drop points aye. From other clubs?
But
like,
I'm not
hearts.
Saying get beat. I'm saying there'll be a draw in there. Aye. Well, why wouldn't you think that when you think the points Hearts have taken off Celtic,
six.
Kilmarnock?
We've taken six off Celtic.
Yeah, Kilmarnock as yeah. well. The Rangers have been beaten five times, two of them against Celtic, so another three times, but one of those were Motherwell. Motherwell
aye.
Getting the top six was one Aberdeen, so that's
yeah.
gone. But still, there's the threat against Hearts and Kilmarnock. They've shown enough this season from an attacking threat that they'll score goals.
Yes.
So I think there's drop points.
Here's something for you to take. I mean, it's just crazy when you think of this. Celtic have taken 7 points off Rangers this season, yet on Wednesday night they could still be behind in the league
yeah.
title race.
It's crazy, yeah.
And because nine times out of ten, you always say at the start of the season, the old form games will decide the league.
But I never see that, Ewan. And see
well,
when
but it's true though. When I was doing that football phoning back in the day, honestly, it was the old form games that always decided.
No, that's nonsense.
It's not nonsense.
So are you
in
saying
a general
are you
sense?
Saying, you go back to that era. Are you trying to say that both Martin O'Neill's teams and Walter Smith and Gordon Strachan they never dropped any points
no,
against
did,
anybody else?
They did the odd
of
occasion.
Of course they did.
Well, no, but they did get in the odd occasion. But it always came down to the old firm games to decide the league. You get the odd draw here or the
aye.
Odd loss here, but Celtic and Rangers at that time in the noughties were miles ahead
but
of everybody.
We seen one of the years with Neil Lennon, let me get this right, one of the years with Neil Lennon, we went to Ibrox. I'm sure we won the first one. I think we won we lost the first one, won the second one, went to Ibrox in January and won 2-0. Georgie Samaras scores.
That's right. That run.
Aye. And then we had the fourth one at Ibrox, and Samaras has a penalty, didn't
and,
he?
And he
misses.
He gets saved.
And we draw 0-0. So
yes.
we don't lose. So all in all, we come out of that old firm period going, we've done actually okay in those games. But we lost the league because we lost at Inverness on a Wednesday night. And that was the one that did it for us.
That result.
So
if Samaras doesn't miss that penalty though,
oh, we've won the league.
I know.
Samaras.
I was actually in the stadium that day doing commentary.
Cheering with McGregor. Saved the penalty. Oh, God.
McGregor. You're off your Samaras. No, it's none of that. But again, it was great times. I thoroughly enjoyed the football in the noughties. So let's do this. Let's go to WVAR WTF thing. Press that button, mate.
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Okay, lots to get through.
Is that the jingle for the VAR?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's VARWTF. You don't hear it at the start?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that, sorry.
Go and turn off and put it on again for me to hear what the woman says at the start.
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
What the? VARWTF.
Right, okay.
Let's start with Dundee Motherwell. Motherwell penalty, handball on the edge of the box. Joe Shaughnessy puts his hand out. Boy
yeah.
takes a shot. Is that a penalty for you?
Yep.
Hands
yep.
out, yeah, we agree with that. We think it's a penalty. Harsh, but...
Harsh, aye. But
in today's day and age, yeah. it's a penalty. St Mirren versus Hearts. Hearts penalty for handball. There
yeah.
was a shot from Vargas at the near post. Yeah, the boy's hand comes out. He takes a shot. It's a penalty. The one that we might disagree on, St Mirren penalty, there was a claim. The referee doesn't give it. VAR then goes, whoa. I think you made a mistake there.
Yeah.
Going to have a look at that. The referee then goes, looks at it. because Denham has brought down the attacking St Mirren player. The referee looks at me and I'm sticking to my original decision. I don't think it's a penalty. Does Mark Wilson think it was a penalty?
I thought it was a penalty.
That would have made it 2-2.
Yeah. I like refs, by the way, sticking by their first thought. But I thought he got that wrong. I thought, having a second look at that, he must see that he's cupped there. And the back left heel, I think it was.
So you're going penalty?
Penalty.
Ref definitely got that wrong.
Ref got it wrong.
Someone who can think themselves hard done by.
I think so, aye.
Hibs versus St Johnstone. Makonda gets punched in the face by Mitov.
Oh, God.
Was that a penalty?
Aye, without doubt.
Here's the thing, though, right? I can give the referee a wee pass that he didn't quite see it or who got the touch on the ball. But why did VAR not look at that?
I've no idea.
Mitov comes running out. And first viewing, I thought he got it. But he doesn't.
Oh, I guess nowhere near it.
McCondis wins a head down. He knocks him
exactly.
out, basically.
So that's an incredible decision, how VAR can he pull that back. Crazy. And goalkeepers are just protected, aren't they?
Aye.
Like, when they do, if that's a player running out with their boot up, and it's a penalty all day long. So why is it any different when you're coming out with your fist?
I know.
Crazy. It's dangerous.
Crazy. And that's my issue with that. The referee will get a pass from me. If you miss it, you kind of give something if you don't see it.
Yeah.
Or if you interpret it in another way. But the fact that VAR didn't say, mate, do you want to go and have a wee look at that? I think he just knocked that boy out. So, yeah, I agree with you on that one. Right, the big one yesterday was, I think the only big VAR decision for me was the disallowing Rangers goal, which again, I think was the right decision. We'll get to that in just a second. Then we've got the silver penalty as well. Is there anything else in that game?
Really? The handball was VAR. John Beaton missed that as well. John Beaton missed a lot.
What handball?
Oh, Celtic get the penalty.
No, but again, I always give a referee a pass when these sort of things happens in the blink of an eye.
I don't think anybody saw that, actually, the handball.
I'd just like to put on record, I agree with Neil Lennon, Peter Grant, Neil McCann, I can't remember who else, who've all were talking about the game, James McFadden, Chris Boyd, all of them, all saying that Beaton had a good game yesterday. I actually think Beaton, despite all the pressure on the chat leading up to it, I thought he had an excellent game yesterday. So I agree with Peter Grant, Lennon and all the guys. So I think that John Beaton did have a very good game yesterday. Let's talk about the disallowed goal. It's the Tom Lawrence challenge,
yep,
about 20 yards from the Rangers goal. He does take Iwata out.
Oh, without doubt.
Right. So that's a free kick. There was some debate online that was that the same phase of play, because Silva has a shot and it's blocked.
Yeah.
And it bounces around and it bounces around and bounces around. So does that not then become the second, third and fourth phase of play? But then somebody did point out on Twitter that at no point did Celtic have control of the ball, so it's still the same phase of play.
Bingo.
I still think that John Beaton has got that right when he's went and had a look at it.
Yeah.
For me, he does take him out and it is in the same phase of play.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah. I think Celtic have to have control for it to be classed as a comfortable phase of play. If they then, Greg Taylor wins the ball back and he travels forward and gives it away,
and then
to a Rangers player and the score, nothing can be done.
Yeah.
But it was the same phase of play. It was a foul. Listen, the only thing is, John Beaton, lots of people saying he had a good game. He was 2 yards
right.
away
but see,
facing that.
But again, because I'm a neutral on the outside looking in, when you look at John Beaton's position, he can see Iwata.
Yeah.
And Tom Lawrence is on his inside of Iwata.
Correct.
So he can't see Tom Lawrence because of Iwata's body. I think he thinks that Tom Lawrence has won the challenge.
Yeah.
But he's taken Iwata out before he touches the ball.
I don't think he even touches the ball.
He does. Oh, he touches. Oh, he touches it. He hits the bottom of his foot. But he's taken Iwata out before he gets to the ball. So I give Beaton a pass on that again. So VAR has done its job. And fair play to Beaton. He goes and sees. He goes, right, I missed that.
Yeah.
I thought maybe Tom Lawrence had won the ball cleanly, then hits Iwata. And he goes and makes the right call. So we agree on that.
Yeah, it was a foul. I think, by the way, see on players' reactions as well. If you see Iwata at real time, I was on the show, I called, that's a foul. You see Iwata's reaction.
Oh,
he
God,
I cannot believe that
he's
not being given.
And he's screaming, yeah. And so it was the right decision. So again, well done to John Beaton and for VAR for stepping in there. Right, here's the big one. Silva's penalty that, if truth be told, turns the game on its head. Rangers were piling on the pressure, But at that moment, I think it's the 56th minute, Rangers are needing a goal sooner rather than later to get themselves back into it and to get the crowd up and on their side. They then get a penalty. Now, what I'm going to say about this is this. If that is Seema who's brought down there, I think everybody accepts it's a penalty. But because it's Silva and the way he'd been carrying on, diving around, throwing himself about, rolling around the grass as if he's been poleaxed, his reputation went before him. So that's why John Bean instantly went, ah, I'm not buying that. He's at it again. Again, like for the fourth time. Right, you. That's a dive.
Mm-hmm.
Vargo, well, hold on a wee minute. You need to have a wee look at that. He goes on a look at it. He changes his mind and he thinks it's a penalty. Now, I watched Peter Grant last night at Sports Scene. He was like, it's a penalty for me. It's a penalty. He goes, yeah. Johnson gets a touch on the ball, but that's irrelevant because he might get a touch on the ball. Silva's still running onto it.
Yeah.
It's him that's chopped it back. It's him that's in control of the ball. And then he's lifted his leg up and kicked him in the knee. And he's gone down. I think it's more a penalty than not. And what I would say about that, if I'm on the receiving end of that, if that's Martin Boyle and he's been tackled by Halkett, I'm going, you're a dive. You're a cheat. You're this, you're that. It's never a penalty because it's against my team. But I think most neutrals that I've listened to are saying that's a penalty. And I think fair play to Peter Grant last night, Neil McCann and others, James McFadden, all said it's a penalty for me. Yeah. Mark Wilson says,
I didn't think it was a penalty.
See, that's the problem because you've got the Celtic spectacles on.
No. I think listen, it is. I genuinely think
that you do have the Celtic spectacles with us.
Listen, I sat, was it on the show last year when, remember Conor Goldson's handball?
That.
Yeah.
When he's like, and he's protecting his face. Yeah,
connected with Celtic was losing their minds. I said I didn't think that was a penalty.
Yeah.
So I think I'm pretty fair. Now, where I may claim a bit of bias, there's no Celtic bias, it's probably right back bias. I looked at that, and if I was Alistair Johnson, that's the way I'm looking at it, and Silva's running at me, and Silva's done me in the inside because he's taken that touch to twist me inside.
He's chopped it.
He's then chopped me.
Yeah.
So I'm having to turn my body, but I have to make the challenge because I have to redirect that ball. That's my job to stop him. I've got contact in that ball.
Irrelevant.
Can it be irrelevant?
But it's irrelevant, Mark. But, in this situation, it's irrelevant. Well, you clearly don't know football. You don't know the rules of football. Because I think your bias is shining through here.
It's not a Celtic bias, it's maybe a defender bias. That I think job as a defender, if I'm having to put a challenge in and win the ball, and I do that first, but in doing so my body's contorted and spinning round and falling back, remember.
He does chop at his knee.
He flicks his foot. If you watch it,
Johnson actually kicks at his knee.
No.
He does.
No.
He does. And as Peter Grant mentioned last night at Sports Scene, you can actually see Silva's leg shudder because he's kicked him.
There is no doubt there is contact. Okay. And that's why John Beaton went and looked. No, what I was interested in. No, okay. See when we were seeing the pictures through that John Beaton was supposedly seeing VR.
Yeah.
Kept showing the contact.
Aye.
It didn't show much of the touch of the ball
I just wish you'd stop talking about the touch of the ball, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples of that, right?
Are you going to say the Brighton Arsenal one?
I wasn't going to mention that, but when I got home on Saturday night, I was sat down watching the game with a bowl of chilli and some Dorito Heat Waves. Amazing.
The new ones are
hot. They're really good. And Gabriel Jesus down the left wing.
Yeah.
Gets into the box. Lamptey touches the ball and then takes him out.
Yeah.
Penalty. And nobody.
Do you not think that one is much more a proper contact?
Not one person in football or none of the pundits on Sky Sports at halftime went, that's not a penalty.
But you can see the difference, surely, between that contact and the fullness of the Brighton. There must be a difference. Right. It's got to be.
And can I also just point out as well, and listen, I have a bit of fun with Chris Sutton on Twitter, right? I thought he was bang out of order yesterday.
I didn't hear his comments.
I thought he was a bit hysterical in that incident. And also Chris Boyd, who again I've got a lot of time for, he's a hypocrite. And the reason he's a hypocrite, when was the game against Livingston? Celtic Livingston, was that last week?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it'll be Kyogo. Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
It's never a penalty in a million years. It's never a penalty in a million years.
Oh, Boyd
never...
said that. I didn't hear him, sorry, last week.
Last week I was going, that was a penalty. Every day of the week, that's a penalty.
Yeah.
Celtic should have got that penalty against Livingston for that challenge on Kyogo.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, Chris Boyd's going, that's 100% a penalty, Silva.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do that, because, listen, we've all got our biases and we all want our teams that we grew up supporting to do well. But when you're sat in front of millions in a TV studio, or if you're in co-coms, be better than that.
Well, that's why I'm defending my point of view, Frey, not Celtic bias, but probably defender bias, that I would have thought, okay, as Alistair Johnson, I did enough to divert the ball.
So last week at Livingston, yeah, I said it was a penalty. In any day of the week, that's a penalty on Kyogo.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I would agree in that
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
But Kyogo was a bit theatrical.
Oh, without doubt.
Right.
He often is.
But it was still a penalty.
Well,
I thought Silva was very theatrical, but it's still a penalty.
Well, again, that's where we were divided in here yesterday as well. Yeah. I was the only one that said I wasn't... Look, the Rangers manager, it was a penalty. The Celtic manager, it wasn't a penalty. He claims that John Beaton got the decision right. By the way, John Beaton, again, is there on the spot. So even in real time, he didn't think it was a penalty.
I'll tell you what, okay? I will agree with, right? You know, it has to be a clear and obvious error.
Yes.
I don't think that probably was.
Exactly.
So VAR shouldn't get involved.
Exactly.
Because the referee's right there behind it and sees it, and it's what he sees at that time.
And it's the opposite from the St Mirren one there.
Yes.
Because he goes over and he sticks to it. And I thought that was a penalty.
Aye.
And this one, John Beaton's right in the spot. I think he should trust his judgment at the time. He can judge that contact better than anybody.
Because VAR's put doubt in his head.
Exactly.
And that's why he's probably changed his mind. But I think there is an argument to be had, because John Beaton's made that decision and it's not a clear and obvious mistake, he shouldn't be getting called over to VAR.
Yeah.
But that's another argument for another day. So we'll agree to disagree.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. But agreeing the
Doritos. I know you've got to run really quick, and I know we've not got through League One, League Two and the Championship and all that. Who's winning the league?
And where? The Championship?
Aye, Championship.
Dundee United.
They both won at the weekend.
Yeah, but 5-0 at Dundee United against Queen's Park, I think, shows they're in the upward trajectory.
Especially after that win last week against Wraith Rovers, and now they've just kicked on from there.
Yeah.
So Dundee United will win promotion.
Yes.
Okay, and into League One, well, Falkirk have already won the league.
Yes, that's an easy one.
They're champions.
And Steady, that's
steady.
Easy.
Yes. Champions. I follow Gary Naismith's wife on Twitter, and she follows me.
Oh, wow. What a claim to fame that is.
I've never met her, but
she
started following.
Have we got more time to divulge into that story?
No, why is that? She just started following me one day, and then I followed her back.
The old Hearts connection.
It must be the old Hearts connection. But Gary Naismith, brilliant job he's done there.
Unbelievable job. Signed a new deal, didn't he, recently? Aye. So deserve everything he gets. Good manager and good for Steny. Well done.
You would know him, would you not? Because he's around your time.
Would have played against him. I don't really know him personally.
Okay. See, when it comes to fullbacks, who's the best fullback
in Scotland at the minute?
In Scotland at the minute.
Oh, what a question, what a question.
Just before we get to the quiz. Best fullback in Scotland right now. Taylor? No. Barisic?
Definitely not.
Yilmaz?
Possibly.
He is a good player, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I would have said Tavernier until, again, I see his defensive problems he's got. Him and Goldson, by the way, playing together against proper pace and
see Tavernier, he is shit scared of Maeda.
He
must have nightmares about boy. Can I just say, Maeda, see if he had a final delivery.
I know.
He's in the Premiership.
Well, it would be, but that's
the boy, I've never seen anyone that quick in my life.
I know. And then when he gets it, you think he would just practice his left foot crossing every day. He probably does.
See against Livingston, I don't know how many times he got in a great position to put a cross and it was going over the bar.
I know.
Going out for a throw-in.
But it's the worst thing to play against, Ewan.
Pace.
Raw pace, right? But Tavernier, no doubt going forward, he's head and shoulders above anybody else as a fullback. But defensively, no. That's why Yilmaz may just edge it. But I don't think the Celtic fullbacks have been great this season.
Cochrane at Hearts?
I like Cochrane.
I hear he's leaving in the summer.
To where? England?
Nah, he's going back down south.
Is he?
Aye, that's what I've heard.
Well, that'll be a blow for you.
Which is why James is
Penrice.
Coming. Aye.
Yeah.
Good player.
Proactive management, that, Ewan.
Very proactive. And we also needed cover on that side as well, because Kingsley's injured.
Will Naismith still be there, though?
Well, apparently, Liverpool are looking at him to replace Jurgen Klopp.
the under-18s coach.
Do you want to do the quiz?
Aye, go for it, aye.
Let's do this, producer Michael, because he needs to get to Partick Thistle.
Yeah, cards on the table. I actually left it in the printer, so I'll be 30 seconds.
Did you hear that? Hurry up, Michael.
So we'll just talk amongst ourselves while you run to the printer and get the question. So what it is, now normally what happens is it's alternate questions.
Right.
But what we're doing today, we're doing an Old Firm special.
Okay.
So it's the same five questions. So see those loads of bits of paper you've got there?
Aye.
Right, so go and get five bits of paper. And then you're going to write down your answers for each question, and then you hold it up to the camera.
Ah, so it's visual.
Yeah. Well. But you also like say it for those who are not watching on YouTube. But so you need five bits of paper in an Old Firm game. So, and we're same questions.
Perfect.
So he's away getting the questions from the printer.
There's no way he's going to be 30 seconds to that printer.
It's quite a run through that corridor, that is, eh?
Exactly. You need to buzz through about three doors now.
Yeah. Oh, you need the buzz thing.
Aye.
See, that was lightning.
Oh, that was quick.
No way. Is that 30 seconds?
That was less. I mean, that was good.
And you're not even out of breath, Michael.
The mic's down. La gente
está muy loca. Oh, we've done that.
I didn't mean that.
He's all out of the shop now.
Aye.
Oh, Michael, get composed again.
Sorry, right. Here we go. Is that one?
No, it's not that either.
Sounds like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, though.
Oh,
does it?
That is, yeah.
Aye. But yeah, the other wee beddy things we'll do. Like the droney bed.
Did you just cut this down?
Oh, here we go. We don't cut anything. All this stays in.
Does it?
Aye.
How professional.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, let's do this. So it's an Old Firm special, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, and we're each answering the same question.
Right.
I don't, because you need to hide it.
Sorry.
I don't want to see what you're writing down.
Just don't cheat.
Right, go on then. Question one.
Okay, question number one. Who is the leading scorer in Old Firm derbies?
What, of all time?
Of all time.
The leading scorer in Old Firm derbies of all time.
When did I hold it up? Just now?
No, wait. Wait till I've written it down. It's him or him.
Well, you can only choose one.
Yeah, I know. See, for you, was that easy?
I don't know. Oh, no, I'm second guessing myself now.
Oh, see, I did as well. I've written down two names. I have to score out one.
Well, it's got to be.
Wait,
I bet
we're
on the same wavelength here.
Well, no, well, you write down who you think
right,
it is.
I've wrote. Yeah,
so are you changing it?
No.
No.
I'm John Beaton should have been. Sticking to my original decision.
Right, I am going with that, which is Ali McCoist.
And Mark?
I've went for Ali McCoist.
Yes! Well done, mate. I had Larson.
I thought it was Larson.
And look, if you can see there on YouTube, I've just scored. I had Larson to begin with, but I thought probably McCoy. What's do you know the stats there, Michael?
He has 17 goals.
Who?
Old Firm derbies, Ali McCoist.
Do we know
what
Larson?
Henrik kid? Aye.
Don't know. Not my sheet.
It must be close.
It would be close.
I
would it not?
I can look it up.
I go and just Google that.
Well, Kyogo's got what, 7, and Larson. Was there about 7 years?
He must be close.
He was scoring about 10 a season against Rangers at that point.
Right, only 17 is the top goal scorer. I'm surprised it's not more than that.
I know.
Go on, Geezy, answer.
Larson has 15.
Oh, 15 close
tight,
then.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, question two is 1-1.
Question two. In Celtic's 2-0 win in 1991, how many players were sent off?
91? That's way before my time.
Before my time.
What do you mean before your time? Fuck, that's a fuck.
I wasn't even born.
So it must have been a few.
I don't know if I was at this game.
But as a fan?
No, it was 2-1. I was at. Aye. I went to my first Old Firm game. I'm sure it was 91, 92.
Who'd have been playing for Celtic at that point?
John Collins scored that day.
Right, okay.
I'm sure Haley scored for Rangers 2-1 it was.
Well, for you to ask that question, it must have been a few sent off.
Aye, I know.
I'm going to go with this. No, is that too much? I'm going to go with that. Right, I've got my answer. Are you ready, Mark?
Yep.
Okay, I've gone with 3.
I've went 5.
5? Is it?
I don't know.
And Marshall has saved! Are we both wrong?
Yes. Right in the middle. It's 4.
4!
Oh, no!
So close.
But I said, you heard me say, I think that's too much. I was going to go four.
Yeah, yeah. But
so
you didn't.
For Celtic, Peter Grant gets sent off. And then for Rangers, Hurlock, Walters, and Hatley all get sent off.
They lost control.
Three Rangers players got sent off.
Apparently so.
And there's meant to be some sort of conspiracy. Come on.
Disgraceful.
Right, let's do this. Question three of five. It's 1-1.
Question number three. Who scored the fastest goal in Old Firm history?
That's...
It was talked about a lot.
That was on yesterday.
No, it wasn't.
No. No, but they were talking about how...
I've got it.
So have I. Hold on. Let me write it down. You ready, Mark?
Yes.
Sutton.
Sutton.
Yes! Yes!
Yeah, it was talked about yesterday. 17 seconds or something like that, was it?
Yeah.
It was 19 seconds.
19. Ibrox.
What was it, 21 yesterday?
2002.
For
Maeda.
Aye, 21. Right, 21 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, so question four, it's 2-2.
Question four. How many Old Firm games has Brendan Rodgers won?
Do you know this?
No, I think I've got that wrong.
But you're quick to write down an answer, though.
I know, because I've got a figure in my head. We had that many, you know, how many he's played, how many he's won, how many he's drawn, and I think of...
He's won loads because he had it so fucking easy against Cassini and Warburton and all that.
They were good managers in their own respect. I would love them back just now.
Oh, how many Old Firm wins has he had? I'm going to go that. You ready?
Yes.
I've gone 13.
Ah, I've went 15.
And Marshall has saved!
Eh?
Yes! Are we both wrong?
Both wrong. Ewan, pretty close. He's won 12.
Oh, no!
Lucky.
Right, here we go. Fifth and final question. It's 2-2.
Okay.
Alright, let's do it.
Okay. Who has more caps for Scotland? John Gregg or Billy McNeil?
Oh god. Oh, you're quick with the answer here, mate. John Gregg or Billy McNeil? Do you know this, Mark?
No.
You just had a guess. You've probably got McNeil, haven't you? So why just go Gregg?
You go who you want to go.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to have a wee guess, but if we want a winner, I'll go for the opposite of you. What did you go for?
I went for Gregg.
There is a tiebreak question if you...
Yeah, I'll go with John Gregg as well. Right, so we've both gone Gregg. Yes! Right, here we go. Tiebreak question to decide who's the best of the best when it comes to... knowing the history of the Old Firm. Here we go.
How many league games have there been between the two sides since 1891?
So nearest two wins.
Yeah.
When were Celtic formed?
1888.
Let's do the maths on that.
League games, did you say, Michael?
Just league games.
Just league games. And there obviously wasn't a split before, and they weren't playing each other four times.
Four times and all that stuff. When did the four times a season come into it?
I don't know.
2000?
Have you got a number? Have you?
As good as any, aye.
Just pluck something out there.
Pretty much.
No, you didn't do any maths or anything.
I tried to, and then I gave up.
How many Old Firm games have been played in the history of Celtic and Rangers? That's a brilliant question. And it's just league, not cups or league cups or anything.
Just says how many
league games. No Fairs Cup or anything like that,
is
right?
Is that the league? No.
No, okay. I'm just getting clarification, you cheeky git. Have you got an answer?
Aye.
Right. I'm going to go for... Oh, I'm just going to go for a round number.
Please read it out so I can do the maths quickly.
I'm going to go that nearest two. Right, you ready?
Yes.
Mark, do you want to say how many you said?
245.
Oh, you're a dancer. Yeah. We're close. Oh. I went 250. Oh.
So the answer...
Uh-huh.
...is 334.
Yes! Get in! Play more Champions League music!
it. I'm the champion. Mark has lost, and I'm a Hearts fan. Yes! I'm doing a happy dance. Mark, you need to do a sad dance. Do a sad dance, Mark. Mark, get up and do a sad dance.
I don't know what a sad dance is.
Just as if you're watching James Blunt. Yes, get in!
Oh, that's... How close were the guesses there?
Let's wrap up the show, play my music thing, and then we need to say cheerio because Mark needs to run.
Well done, Ewan.
No, you're not going to Livingston. Where are you going?
Partick.
That's it. Thank you so much to the one and only Mark Wilson.
Thank you.
Mate, enjoyed that.
It's been great. Great fun. Great to see you again.
So the next time that Stephen goes off on holiday, you can pop in again.
Give
say
me
hello,
a call, mate.
Because he's
I'll
always
be here.
Working on holiday.
I'll be next week, probably.
Yeah, every chance. We'll be back next week. Here on the big Scottish Football Podcast, YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, Deezer. I mean, all of them. Which one?
All the big ones.
Which one do you listen to? Do you have a Spotify or Apple Music
Spotify,
account?
Yeah. Spotify.
Fantastic. Please leave your comments and your opinions on Mark Wilson's dance and his opinions on Scottish football and how shit he is at knowing the history of the Old Firm.
And James Blunt.
And James Blunt.
Also James Blunt comments.
Bye, wave. Bye. Bye.